Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Well, I've run up and down these stairs and used up all my energy, so I won't preach very long this morning. But I do want to share with you just a little bit from the Word. Would that be okay? I don't like for people to come to church and not get some of God's Word. But this is a very important day as we say thank you for those who serve. Someone said that volunteering is the ultimate exercise in democracy. You vote in elections once a year, but when you volunteer, you vote every day about the kind of community you want to live in. And I believe that. When we step up and we volunteer to minister together within this community of believers, you are saying and preaching, if you will, as to what kind of community you want this to be. The value of spiritual community is measured really by the strength of the volunteers. I remember Tommy Pano, who started the church in Carmel, which is now Northview, runs many, many thousands. When he started that, he was asked at a church growth convention that we were holding. He said, well, give us insight as to what you think that it takes to grow a church. And he said, well, he said, you go on, and he named the day, to a town that is exploding, and you take with you 200 committed workers. And then you sit back and watch and see what God can do. And that's the truth. It's more about the workers than it is even about the pastor or the pastoral staff. Some come to church with the expectation that they will be served. I've told you this many, many times, so this is not new when I say it, that there's really only two categories of people. Now, I don't mean for this to hurt, but if it does, just pour some salve on it and we'll get over it. But there's only two types of people. There are givers and there are takers. It's true. You're either one or the other. We're not talking about the quantity. We're not talking about the level of commitment, but you're either a giver or you're a taker. Some people come to church with the expectation that we will take care of their children, they will be fed when they need to be fed, we will feel their need and soothe them, we will sing to them, we will preach to them, we will visit them when they are sick, we will keep the temperature in the room exactly the way that they like it, they will be provided with a seat that is to their liking, and they will proclaim, don't keep me too long, but just long enough so that I can be blessed. Others come to church with the expectation to give. And they say, here I am, let me serve. They'll say, it's not about me, it's about you. They'll say, here, let me feed you. Oh, you have a need? How can I help? I will sing when needed. I will teach your children. Whatever works for everyone else will be fine with me. And don't worry about the time. Just let us touch God. Is there truth in that? Winston Churchill said, we make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. And I believe that within the body of Christ, nothing is more true than that. Many folks, they want a blessing from their Lord. They want God to shower down blessings upon them. You will never know the greatest blessings that God has for you until you're willing to give or to share or to minister. My text is taken from that certificate. Thank you, Cheryl. I knew it had a name. I just couldn't get to it. By the way, folks, you know, if I forget to call your name, it's not because I don't know it most of the time. I've got this thing going on right now. I can remember numbers. I can remember texts. I can remember all kinds of things. But names are in a file cabinet back in the back of my head. And I'm having a terrible time with them. So you can excuse me or hate me. But I really don't think it's my fault. I'm almost as old as Larry. Listen to this text. I love it. And it's my heart to this congregation this morning. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul says, "We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, he uses two words right there in the beginning. He says, always and continually. Those are huge words. Always and continually. And what is he wrapping them in? He's talking about that it's not just on Thanksgiving Day that we're thankful. And I have to say that as well. It's not just on Appreciation Sunday that we are thankful for those that minister among us and to us. We're appreciative all year long. I want to use Paul's words, always and continually. You see, there's, to me, as a pastor, there's nothing more soothing, if you will, than to watch people in the body of Christ minister to one another. You know, one of my greatest joys, you say, what flips your switch? One of my greatest joys is when I listen and hear God's people pray. People kind of back away from that anymore, so much to do it publicly, but I love to hear God's people pray. Not in a judgmental way in the least, but just simply there is a heart identification that comes. And I can't really describe it. It's down in there with the call that God put upon my heart and life. But it's down in there that when I see God's people serve or I hear them pray or do the work of the ministry, it brings great joy to my heart. I think a couple of reasons. One is because I know that that's where the blessing's at. It's incredible when you have the opportunity to lead a child to Jesus. And yes, our Sunday school teachers and Royal Ranger and Missionette were girls' ministries workers. You know, it's a labor sometimes. But they also have that privilege to be able to kneel down or sit down with a young man or a young woman and talk to them about Jesus and watch Jesus come into their heart and see their lives be changed. So I jump on this with the Apostle Paul. Always and continually, I give thanks to our Heavenly Father for the workers and those that step forward and do the work of the ministry. Now, he lists three things, and they're all very powerful. And by the way, if you'll give me 5 more minutes, then we'll say the amen here today, okay? Or you can just sit there and I'll keep going. Because I've got plenty to say. You know that. Listen to this. He said, "I'm thankful continually for your work produced by faith." Now, throughout the New Testament, Paul uses this term. In the Greek, it's ergon, for those who were wondering. But he always attaches it in other places to something else. In other words, he puts another word with it, another adjective to describe it. Like in one place, he talks about benevolent work. In another place, he talks about it as good deeds. And I could go on and on. But in this place, he uses the simple word of ergon, which covers all kinds of work. So in other words, he's saying, I'm thanking God continually for all the work that is being done around me by those in the Thessalonica church. He calls it a work of faith. Now, there are many things in many different places that shape out the word that is used for faith in the original language. But the one that I love the most is firm persuasion. Firm persuasion, that's faith. You see, when people work, when they labor out of a firm persuasion, out of their faith, it's so genuine. It's so right. Now, you know, I've been doing this a long time, almost 40 years as a pastor. And I've gone through different stages of my life and ministry where I've tried different things to get people to work. I want to say I've tried them all, but maybe not. There may be a few more that I haven't tried yet, okay? But nevertheless, I have found this to be true, that if I go to someone and I ask them, based upon our relationship or their love for the church or their love for the pastor or whatever, and I ask them to do something in the church, many times, because I'm asking directly, they'll say yes. Now, not always, but many times they'll say yes. But I find that when they do it for me, they struggle with it. And often, it's not very long before I look up and they have disappeared. Not only from the ministry, but many times from the church, because I asked them to do it, they said yes, and because they wanted to quit that ministry, they just left the church rather than the embarrassment of skating out on the pastor, I guess. However, I have found that if I pray about it, and I pray, God, move some person of faith to do this ministry. Now, I'll tell you, it takes longer doing that. Because by the time my prayer ascends to heaven, and then His Spirit begins to work on somebody, it can take a while before that person says yes. However, when people do it out of their faith and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a whole different level of commitment. Because see, it's not about me. It's not about any other human being. It's about that relationship that they have with the Lord Jesus. See, that's what Paul was talking about. He said, I recognize, I praise and thank God continually for your work that you're doing by faith. Not because somebody asked you to. And listen, not just because there's a need. You know, I love those folks that are willing to jump in and serve when there's a need. That's great. But it's really not even a good motive to just serve because there's a need. To serve out of faith and relationship with Jesus is life-changing. Because, see, that means that He is going to do some incredible things in the life of the one who's serving. Heather thinks that it's hard to just do what she did. You ought to try this. Your work produced by faith. Your labor prompted by love. Now again, there's a couple of rich words that are used here. He says, labor. Do you know what that word means in the original language of the Bible? It means beating, wailing, grief. Now, if you've never served, you may not be able to identify with those words. However, if you have ever gotten off of work, working 6 days a week, maybe 8 to 10 hours a day, and then come here, change your clothes, stuff in some kind of a burger or something or other, and then help to set up tents so that you can have an overnight camp out with other people's, boy, I almost said brats. I wouldn't be right. Other people's children. Okay? And you can't sleep that night because if you did, they would carry off the tents and you and everything that's there. So you had to stay up all night. You understand this word. Beating, wailing, grief. Wearisome effort. You know, don't you ever think that the people that are doing these things are doing it because it's easy for them. It's not about easy. It's about doing this wearisome effort because of agape, the love of God flowing in their hearts that will not allow them to not do this thing. That says, these boys need this. These girls need this. These adults need this. These shut-ins need this. So I'm going to put aside the fact that I'm tired and have a multitude of excuses. And I'm going to step into this out of love. The love of God flowing in my life. You see, it's easy for us to say, oh, yes, I have God's love in my life. But if you say, I have God's love in my life, and you can sit down and do nothing, you don't have God's love in your life. Because God's love is action, not feeling. For God so loved the world that He gave. And you know, that's true continually. In God's people's lives, they love so much that they give. That's how you can tell real, true Christians. They can't sit. They can't do nothing in the kingdom of God because the love of God is shed abroad in their lives. Elizabeth Andrews says, volunteers do not necessarily have the time. They just have the heart. This is the difference. Oh, if I had the time, I would do it. None of us have the time. But the heart of love cries out, yes. Oh, I wish I had time to fully develop this, but I don't. So let me move lastly to the last one, and that is your endurance inspired by hope. Endurance to persevere under. Very specific word, to live under. Those that I find who have been called out because of their faith in the Lord Jesus to volunteer and to serve, they are living under a burden, a calling. They may not even recognize it as a calling. It just draws from down inside that says, you know what, I must do this. And the enemy will come and speak in this ear and say, but you're not really that good. And the spirit within says, but I must. I must. You say, but are you really going to have that big of an effect? But I must. Because down inside, it just grinds away. I must be serving my Lord. I must be touching the lost. I must be encouraging the saints. Because it's the work of love that God has called me to do. And you step into it. And then he says, you do that because of the hope. You know what the hope looks like? The hope says that that little scraggly kid that comes in here on Wednesday night because somebody picks him up and brings him in, who comes from a home of total lostness and darkness, who comes from parents that aren't sure that they even want that child in their household. Who comes in not dressed all that great, not having been eating all that much, comes in broken. But that ranger leader, that children's worker looks over and sees them, and not the brokenness, but what they can be in Jesus. See, that's hope. And the inspiration and the power of God comes flowing in and says, not only is it a desire that you have, but I'm putting in you an expectation based on completion. In other words, I know that God can change this life. Oh my goodness. You know, see, they get up then. And when they don't want to come, they just assume, call in and say, sorry, can't be there tonight. I'm not feeling well. Sorry, had a rough day. No, they go ahead and set it aside and they say, I'm going to go. I'm going to touch. I'm going to love. And let God do what God does. And I know that there will be lives changed. Do you know that we have moms and dads sitting right here in the sanctuary with us this morning that are here because their child was touched in Royal Rangers or in girls' ministry? Right here. They're here to hear the gospel message, to minister before the Lord, because their child came first with a friend and lit up. And like every parent, whoa, that lit up my child, then I need to go check it out. Hallelujah. Is it any wonder that the Apostle Paul had said, continually, always, I remember those who are laboring and ministering. A work produced by faith, a labor prompted by love, an endurance inspired by hope. It's going to happen. Stand with me, please. There's a couple of quotes that I want to give you here this morning as we close, because I really think they're cool. To the person here who feels too insignificant to serve, Betty Reese makes a quote. If you think you're too small to be effective, you've never been in bed with a mosquito. I love that quote. That is so cool and so true. It's not about your size. It's not about your ability. It's about your determination. If you'll listen to the Lord, He'll put that determination down inside of you. And look out, because you're going to bite a lot of people. And the second one is by William Shakespeare. And I've put this up on my wall because I want it. The meaning of life is to find your gift. The purpose of life is to give it away. I love it. The meaning of life is to find your gift. The purpose of life is to give it away. I believe one reason why so many folks are grumpy and miserable in the lives that they live is because they have never reached out and taken hold of the gift that they have and then giving it away to others. Whether it be a word of encouragement, a helping hand, we could go on and on and on and on. Again, I say thank you, thank you, thank you to those who serve. I remember you continually in my prayers before our Heavenly Father, that His hand of blessing would rest heavily upon your life, that you would be blessed in your coming in and your going out, and that you would know His increase as you release of your gifts in this body. And for those of you who have not yet found your place of service, I pray for you that this joy of the Lord could be your strength. It won't be about having enough time, because you'll never have enough time. You just have to step into it. But I want to pray over you this morning. I want to pray that God would move from that deep place within, and that He would begin to call you out. Now, whether you respond or not, that's between you and Him. I've given you what He's given to me. And that's all we can do. Amen? But then when we say yes to the Lord, we open up a floodgate of incredible possibilities for our life. I want that for you.